Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running while pregnant.
I've gotten, I think, the whole range of questions from, isn't that dangerous to yourself? Isn't that dangerous for the baby? The baby's going to fall out. It's not good for your knees. It's not good for your back. I get a lot of questions.
A lifetime of helping others cross the finish line.
I call it a privilege to stand around expos and talk to people and get to share some of the stories that they tell me of how running has changed their life and empowered them and made such a positive influence in the way they enjoy life and the way they've overcome obstacles that have been thrown at them.
And running to help the tiniest of children.
We certainly hope that the money that we raise and that benefit the neonatal intensive care unit will help these families and just help wherever they may spend it, wherever they may choose to spend it. It'll always help a family and it'll always help a baby in need. And you always think that you're the only one having a premature baby that's not well, and then you find out that you're not alone.
On this edition of iRun Radio, the powerful story of why one woman is running and raising money at Ottawa Race Weekend. Also, a runner who's planning a 10K race when she is almost 7 months pregnant. And Running Room founder John Stanton is going to join us. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there, sir.
How are you this week?
Oh, feeling fine. Thanks for asking.
And you know, last weekend, I had the pleasure of hosting an event at which Alex Hutchinson was speaking. I interviewed him on stage. Alex Hutchinson has a new book out called Endure, and it's all about the science of endurance and how it is that we are able to keep going sometimes when our bodies are telling us to stop, and what we can learn from that, what some of the limits are and aren't when it comes to human performance. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. You know, we often do this, and you find it with a lot of the elite runners, too. And you ask them, like, what were you thinking during that record-breaking race? How did you do that? What was going through your mind? And you see what's going through their mind is like, I'm never going to finish. This is awful. Like, I wish this was over. So it's maybe what makes them, I mean, there's a lot of things that makes them so great at what they do and what we all do. But one of the things might be what he's talking about was sort of that ability to sort of keep going through those negative mental thoughts.
Yeah. And we've experienced it too. And what you bring up is great because it is comforting to know that the elite athletes are going through exactly what we're going through, which is their bodies telling them to stop and they try to keep going. And I can remember a 10K race where that happened to me, where I thought at 7K that I was completely done. At 8.5K, I thought in 100 meters, I'm going to be walking. And I ended up not only finishing the race, but it was my fastest 10K ever. And all it was persisting through the agony and breaking it up into smaller pieces. And say, I'm just going to run to the next corner and then I'll decide what to do. And I just kept doing that over and over again. And in the final few hundred meters, I actually increased my speed. So there is something there that is mental. That doesn't mean you can do anything, but it does mean you can do more than your body will tell you it can handle from time to time.
I almost think that's one of the things about racing continuously and continually. So you know that when these negative thoughts encroach that I've been here before, yes.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm done at 7.5K. I'm just going to fight through that, get to maybe the next water station, maybe this, that, or the other. But so you're not so taken aback when the panic strikes.
Yeah, and look, there are limits to this, obviously. You do want to listen to your body, and you don't want to ignore some very strong and persistent signals that maybe you're doing something unhealthy. You need to keep it in balance. But as Alex points out, when somebody sets a world record in the marathon, they tend to be able to walk afterwards. They're not collapsing and being taken to the hospital at the finish line. So obviously there is some capacity there that we don't always tap into, even when it's a remarkable performance. And even when you're running a marathon or a half marathon and you feel like I can barely go one step further, after you cross the finish line, if you had to run another 100 meters, you could probably do it.
I mean, it's just a great sport. It just makes me want to go out and try right now. Yeah.
But there's so many powerful lessons in that, too. And that's, we've always talked before about how running is a great teacher, right? And this is an example of that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never going to be able to get this book done. I'm never going to get my postdoctoral degree. I'm never going to get that TED Talk. And then it's like, you will. Just persevere.
Yeah. Alex Hutchinson, by the way, was a guest on our show a few weeks ago. So if people want to hear that interview that we did with him before he appeared at the Ottawa Writers Festival, which is where I was interviewing him on stage last weekend, if people want to hear the interview with him, they can go to our website at irun.ca. Just click on radio and you can listen to past editions of our podcast and including the interview with Alex. So we're going to talk to Amanda Bellevaux on the show today. And interesting story because she is pregnant. She is quite pregnant. She's going to be probably almost 7 months pregnant when Ottawa Race Weekend rolls around, and she's going to be running the 10K. And there's nothing wrong with that. And yet she acknowledges that she's gotten a mixed reaction from some people about that. There are people who think, oh, wait a second, maybe you shouldn't be doing this while you're expecting a child.
Yeah, it's interesting the taboos that we still see. And it's also interesting that the people who go out of their way, and I think each person should be able to judge their own, I mean, within a certain limit, but obviously, you know, it's very, judge not, yes, lest ye be judged.
Yeah.
You know, you always feel for that with these kind of stories.
Yeah, and there's no scientific evidence that I've ever seen, and I've talked to some experts about this. Obviously, everybody has to talk to their doctor, and you got to make sure that you're okay. I'm not suggesting that anybody who's pregnant should just start training for a marathon, but there isn't any scientific evidence to suggest that exercise is not anything but healthy for people who are pregnant. Again, speak to your doctor about it, but it's not like there's some study that shows it's harmful to the baby. And why would exercise be harmful to the mother or the baby? It's a very natural thing to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Ben. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. See you soon.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we'll talk more about running while pregnant. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And again, you can listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Amanda Bellevaux says she's hooked on running. She's been competing in events for the past few years, so it's no surprise that she's planning to do the 10K at Ottawa Race Weekend. But here's the twist. Amanda is also several months pregnant right now. Amanda, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your running career and how you got into running, what you get out of it, and what kinds of experiences you've had.
So I started running in 2011. We were over at a friend's barbecue, and an acquaintance was there, and she was talking about running, and it piqued my interest, and I thought, oh, you know what, maybe I can do this. So I did a 9-week couch to 5K program and ran the 2011 Army Run 5K, and that was my first race. And since then, I've been hooked on it, gradually working up to a full marathon, which I ran last year, and then just trying to PB my times on all of that. So it's been an interesting 7 years, definitely kind of been all over the map between injuries and having to now slow down my running or just trying to get faster and faster to beat my best times.
And tell me what piqued your interest about it initially at that barbecue. What was it that made you want to try it?
It just seemed like it was something that I could do. My dad was an avid runner from the time I could remember. I remember him going out on Sunday mornings for a 10K run in his old jogging sweatpants, which I hated and I still hate to this day. But it was something that I was kind of exposed to, but never really thought I was able to do it. And I just thought, I'll give it a try. There's nothing to lose. It's 9 weeks. The worst that's going to happen is I don't like it and I don't do it. So I did it. And it was just like a release. Like I was able to let go of all of the stress or anything that was bothering me, just kind of released on the run. And it was me time and cleared my head. And I was able to just kind of enjoy it for the sake of enjoying it.
Now, in fairness to your dad, there probably wasn't as much technical clothing and fancy running gear in those days, right? I remember back to those times.
There wasn't much back in those days.
Yeah, there was a lot of cotton in the early days of long-distance running.
Yes, cotton and baggy clothing.
Exactly. And so did you take to it right away? Because I know for some people it's not fun at first, but if you stick through it for a few months, then it starts to become more enjoyable. But it sounds like you really started to get something out of it right away.
It took about 3 weeks for me. At first it was really hard and it wasn't fun, but I knew that anything that is worth doing, you know, you got to work at it and you can't just give up right away. So I figured I'd give it a good shot to see what was going on and if I really liked it. So after about 3 weeks, I kind of settled in and I found myself wanting to go out and run and kind of get better. So it didn't take too long, but it wasn't right away either.
All right. And obviously you started building up right away. What was it like as you took on longer distances and eventually did a marathon, which is a big milestone? How did you feel about that?
So I started my build up. I was running 5Ks and 10Ks for the first couple of years. And then I was injured and I had to take a full year off. And when I got the all clear to start running again, I had just recently quit smoking. So I thought, you know what, now's the time for me to really do something out of my comfort zone that's going to scare me. So I signed up for my first half marathon, which was the Army Run half marathon. And I worked towards that. And it was probably the scariest thing I had to do was click register and really commit to it. And I just found that if I had a program to sort of follow or if I had an idea of what I was doing, it was easy to do and I knew why I was doing it. And it was to stay smoke-free and, you know, kind of prove to myself that even though I had a pretty bad injury, I was able to come back from it and kind of push. So I ran a couple half marathons, loved it. And then last year I made the decision, okay, so how about I try a marathon and then see what happens. So we got married, me and my husband got married in 2016. We honeymooned in Costa Rica, and because of the Zika virus, there's a 6-month recommended wait time before trying to get pregnant. So I figured, you know what, perfect timing for me to get involved in marathon training. So during that 6 months, I trained and I ran the Ottawa Marathon last year, and it was absolutely incredible and definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do physically, mentally. It was hard, but so, so, so rewarding.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. And it sounds
Thank
like
you.
You've had the right outlook about this all the way along. And you've also chosen some good events. I mean, doing your first 5K and your first half marathon at the Army Run, it's a really inspiring event. So that probably contributed to your enjoyment of this whole experience and kept
Absolutely.
You going. Yeah,
absolutely. Our races in Ottawa are so inspiring, and the Army Run is one I'll never forget. Just how I felt that first time I laced up for a race, and you know, seeing the injured soldiers or vets running or walking, and you know that they're putting everything in it that they can to cross that finish line. And you know that some of them are in pain, and it just kind of makes you realize it's not so bad. Like, I can keep going. If these guys and girls can do it, I can do it too. And it just keeps you going. So it was definitely a great push for those big milestones.
Yeah, I've said before, I think it's the Army Run is the race where nobody makes any excuses. Because,
no, you can't. You just can't.
Yeah. It's not the environment where you want to be the person expressing your first world problems or anything like that.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah. So now you're expecting a child and you're still going to participate in Ottawa Race Weekend. So tell me what went into that decision.
So originally, before I found out I was expecting, I was signed up for the marathon. I had a time to beat and, you know, I wasn't happy with my time last year and I knew I could have done better. And that typical runner mentality where it's, you know, you always want to kind of be better than you were the last time you ran the distance. So I signed up for the marathon, and then a couple weeks later, I found out I was expecting. So I was like, oh, no. Okay, shift gears. Realistically, what do I think I can run for the Ottawa race weekend, because I'd really still like to do it. So I dropped down to the half, and I spoke to my OB, and she said she gave me the all clear to continue running and exercising, providing there was no discomfort, and I kept my pace conversational. So that was a whole switch in my running mentality as well. And so I've been training through the winter, and then I had a couple of setbacks. So I've had to since drop down to the 10K, which I'm super excited to do, because I haven't run that race weekend 10K in a couple of years. And it's actually my favorite 10K course to run. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. It's been tricky and difficult at times, but just being able to lace up and go out and enjoy the miles for what they are, and not try to beat a time or, you know, I got to stick at this pace for this amount of time. You can just go out and have fun and enjoy it. It's been a really, really fun ride so far.
Because it sounds like you are a little bit intense about this, that you strive to go faster, and you're pretty focused about your training, at least before you were running with a baby.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to push my limits to see what I could do, and, you know, set that next goal. And I have a little bit of a competitive streak in me. So whenever, you know, somebody, a friend of mine says, oh, you know, I'm going to run this distance, we should train together, it kind of helps give me that competition to, you know, be the best runner I can be and train as hard as I can. So I do tend to get really involved in my training and really take it seriously when I have a goal. So when I've been known to be very stubborn when it comes to something I want. So if I want that goal, I'm going to do whatever I can to reach it. So that's kind of how I've always approached my training.
So have you gotten a lot of questions from people about running a 10K and training for Ottawa Race Weekend while you're carrying a baby, while you're pregnant? Because I think,
yeah,
I'm sure, because there are people who think, wait, what is it? Is it dangerous? Is it a good idea? You must hear that a lot.
I've gotten, I think, the whole range of questions from, isn't that dangerous to yourself? Isn't that dangerous for the baby? The baby's going to fall out. It's not good for your knees. It's not good for your back. I get a lot of questions. Most of the time, I would say people are just genuinely curious about how I'm able to continue running and why I continue to run. And I don't take this 9 months to kind of, you know, relax. And it's been a little bit tricky to kind of keep them assured that I'm not doing anything that would harm the baby or myself, but also kind of promote the fact that it's okay to still be active while pregnant. If, as long as you get the all clear from your medical team, it's okay to continue being active, and it has a lot of benefits for yourself and the baby as well. So it's been, especially with the summer months now coming, I'm starting to wear clothing where you can kind of see my belly a little bit more, so I get a lot more questions, or I got stares, or I'll get some awesome comments or some not so great comments. It kind of has the full range, but it's been a learning experience for me, and I think for a lot of people as well that see me on a regular basis.
Yeah, and how far along will you be on the day of the 10K?
So on the day of the 10K, I will be 27 weeks pregnant. So just about, or I think I'll be in my third trimester at that point. So I'll be quite large, attempting to run a 10K. But I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out, just to emphasize that, you know, there. I'm not aware of, and I've talked to medical professionals and other people who have done research, I'm not aware of any evidence that suggests, as long as you talk to your doctor and you've had that conversation, that suggests that exercising while you're pregnant is anything but healthy for you. So there's
exactly.
Yeah. But it's interesting how people think. You know, I think there's a bit of an old-fashioned notion somewhere along the way that when you're pregnant, you're supposed to do nothing at all. You're supposed to be
right.
Confining yourself and restricting yourself. And but exercise is usually a healthy thing, even if you're carrying a child.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. As long as you have that conversation with your your medical professional, whether it's an obstetrician or a midwife or a family physician, as long as they are aware that you're doing this and that there's no complications or anything, they'll give you the guidelines to best suit your pregnancy and how to maintain an active, healthy lifestyle.
Right on. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the rest of your training and on race day as well. I think it's great that you're doing this and you're enjoying a completely different experience because you don't have to worry about trying to go fast. And I'm sure you'll enjoy it thoroughly. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Amanda Beliveau, who will be running at Ottawa Race Weekend. Coming up next, John Stanton of The Running Room. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. John Stanton is the founder of The Running Room. He's been coaching and inspiring runners for decades. John, it is great to welcome you back to iRun Radio.
Well, great to be with you, Mark.
Now, I know a few weeks ago you were at Around the Bay in Hamilton, and we really should talk about this event more often because it is such a historic race.
You know, it was a thrill being there again. You know, the Around the Bay, for people who have done it, they all know about it, but many people don't realize that it's North America, and not just North America, the America's oldest road race. You know, it's celebrated its 124th anniversary this year. Next year's a big year for Around the Bay. They'll be celebrating the 125th anniversary. And, you know, it's been consistent. The only time that it didn't occur was during the war years when it was on sabbatical during that time. But it's the oldest running race in all the Americas. And it's a thrill to do it. And many people like you who are going to go to Boston use it as a tune-up to Boston because it comes just the right amount out. It's sort of when you're doing that last long run. And the other thing is that the course itself simulates the Boston course as well a little bit. In the first 10K, you have this kind of gradual downhill where you've got to be very careful not to get suckered into running too fast and get caught up in that vacuum of adrenaline and synergy that surrounds the start line, and so you got to hold yourself a little back. And then in the middle part of the race, the middle 10K is nice because you're along the lake shore, and that's the part you really enjoy. And then just to test your mettle, they throw the hills and the wind at you in the last 10K to find out what you're truly made of. And then you have a marvelous last couple of K coming into the finish line. You go by the cemetery where, of course, the Grim Reaper is there.
Yeah.
Traditionally there every year dressed up as the Grim Reaper, and he tries to get you to come into the cemetery. And it gives everybody a chance to chuckle. And next thing they know, they can see the finish line, and they can see the Coliseum and Canada Place, and they head down towards it. And it's a fabulous finish line. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably one of the highlights of any finish line that certainly I attend in the hundreds of races that I go to, because you come in and you come down a tunnel and it gets a little bit dark and you make a quick right turn at the bottom of the tunnel into the Coliseum. You break into the bright lights and the big jumbotron is playing and music is playing and you can hear the announcer call your name. And it's a fabulous experience. And, you know, it's quite often a cooler day that when it's held, because it's held in April. And, you know, the nice part about the Coliseum is all of your family or friends are seated there. Even people who finish well ahead of you are still there because they have a chance to sit back and relax and cheer the other runners in. So you got a big crowd cheering you in as well. So it's really, you know, it's a particular race, but it's like Boston in the main thing that comes from after it is it's a very tough race. That a lot of it's challenging from the conditions that you run in, for the course itself, and the time of the year that you run, and the distance is tough. But afterwards, wow, do you have bragging rights that you can share with people?
Sure.
And when you first finish it, you know, everybody has the same reaction. They sort of finish and say, oh boy, never again. And then usually it takes them about 15 minutes and a muffin or coffee, get that into them. And then all of a sudden they're thinking, well, if I did a few more hills and maybe trained it a little longer, I might be better prepared for next year. And they come back and they once again do the bake. And the other thing is that because of the distance, the 30-kilometer distance, it's really the perfect tune-up. And, you know, people who have run it, well, they all say the same thing. Once you run around the bay, you're well prepared for any spring marathon. So for people that are planning to run Ottawa or Mississauga or the Toronto Spring Marathons or one of the U.S. Spring Marathons, the timing is superb, and it's a great confidence builder. You know that if you can conquer the hills, conquer the elements, conquer the wind, conquer the hills and the Grim Reaper, you can certainly make sure that you
sure.
can do any marathon that's thrown at you.
Yeah. Now, do you ever get tired of being around the finish line of a race? Because I don't, and I'm pretty sure you don't either.
No.
It's so inspiring, isn't it, to just be around these runners who come in and you know that every one of them has a reason why they're doing it and a story to go with that. It's really incredible, isn't it?
Well, I have, and I call it a privilege to stand around expos and talk to people and get to share in some of the stories that they tell me of how running has changed their life and empowered them and made such a positive influence in the way they enjoy life and the way they've overcome obstacles that have been thrown at them. I've seen people crossing finish lines, and I remember them when they were overweight and struggling to finish a 5K, and I see them coming in a marathon, and I see them break into tears, and it's tears of joy and tears of happiness. They may be a little uncomfortable with the marathon distance, but, you know, when you see them come in, and it doesn't matter whether I'm standing at a 5-kilometer fun run or at, something like Around the Bay or at the Ottawa Marathon or the Army Run, all those events are you're inspired by them. You know, the Army Run is an example when, you know, it's such a brilliant race and that it's so unique and it's such a proud day for Canadians. We're so proud of our men and women in uniform. You see the injured soldiers out there. You know, I stand back, and every time we sing O Canada there, it's so emotional, because normally when we sing O Canada at the start of a race, people are kind of bobbing around. Some of them are still even talking, and yet at the Army Run, when they sing O Canada, everybody sings along. Everybody's looking at the flag. Everybody's got, a thought in their eye that, you know, they're thinking of. When you start to run and you pass the injured soldiers, it's so powerful. And all of a sudden, you know, you realize that we do live in the very best country in the world. And we're so fortunate to have those men and women in uniform that are out there defending our rights and our freedoms and being there for us. And you see the sacrifices that they make. You see the sacrifices their families make. And it's truly just a wonderful experience. And, they bill it as not your ordinary race, and it certainly isn't the ordinary race. It's a very unique race that unites the Army family with the Canadian family. And, you know, I think the Army appreciates each other, and it's a chance for them to celebrate together, but most importantly, the chance for the Army to know that there's a larger family, all Canadians, and they're standing behind them and truly appreciate the commitment that's made by both the men and women who serve and by their families who support them while they're, you know, being deployed or being trained to, and they're, you know, separated during that training.
So, John, I want to ask you, are there any events you've never been to that you wish you could go to? Are there any events you'd still like to run yourself? Because so much of what you do is about the running community. I'm curious to know if you still have any personal goals for yourself when it comes to running.
Well, there is. You know, I've not done the Great Wall of China. And, I've talked to people who have done it and, have gone over and run the Great Wall of China. I think that one would be a cool one to do. That's kind of on my bucket list someday to do that. I've done the Ironman, both the Canadian and the one in Kona. So I don't have any more, thoughts about doing that. And I've never been an ultra runner to I ran with my son for 50 kilometers as he was running a 100-kilometer race one time. I paced him for 50 kilometers. And that kind of gave me a lesson that I'm not into an ultra.
That was enough for you, right?
The marathon was... Yeah, 61 marathons was enough for me. And I said, yeah, I think that's enough. I don't think I need to go beyond the marathon distance. But, I just, the thrill for me sometimes is like on Saturday of this past week, I went for a run with the Friendship Run. And, you know, I started with the group and the lead group. And then we noticed there was a lady kind of struggling at the back. And I slipped back when we got to the turnaround point and I ran in with her. And it was a delight, just a delight running with her. She was a woman who was in her probably mid-40s that was, you know, overweight. She's trying to get some pounds trimmed off because she's finally got some time in her life that she can work at her fitness a little bit. And here she was struggling. She was trying to run with the group, and she was trying to do 10 and 1s. And I was running with her, and I said, well, your breathing's a little hard. Why don't we switch it up to maybe 5 and 1s or even 3 and 1s, and we'll do that on the way back. And she came back, and, you know, when she came back, she said, oh, I feel so much better and so good. And, you know, those are the things that inspire me because, you know, I'll see this lady in another year or two or three, and she'll, you know, she was at the around the bay, and she couldn't do any of the events because she couldn't run 5K. So she thought, well, do the 3K fun run, you know, on Saturday morning, and maybe someday I could do the around the bay 30K. I can't wait till the day I get to see her cross the finish line doing a 30K because, you know, you get to share a little bit in that journey knowing what she's gone through. And when she crosses that finish line, you know that how big of a celebration it will be for her. So,
yeah.
You know, that's where I get it. I guess I've turned from athlete more to coach. I think of myself today more as a coach than I do as an athlete. So it's not about what I'm going to accomplish. I want to help other people accomplish their goals. And I want to help other people, you know, achieve some of the special moments I've had the joy of experiencing.
Yeah.
But I want them to experience it. And that's more important to me than my own personal goals.
Coach, mentor, guru, you're all those things, John. And it's a great pleasure to have you on the show with us. Thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Cheers. Bye now.
That's John Stanton, founder of The Running Room. Coming up next, running to raise money for the care of premature babies. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. About 12 years ago, Nora Shipton and her husband Rob White found out they were pregnant with quadruplets. The babies were born 3.5 months premature, and unfortunately, only two of them survived. Now, those boys are now healthy. They're 11 years old, and Nora and Rob are running, along with a team of others, at Ottawa Race Weekend and raising money for the neonatal intensive care unit at the Ottawa Hospital. It's just another example of the many different causes that an event like Ottawa Race Weekend supports. So many different reasons why people are running that weekend. Nora, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's tell your story. This goes back now almost 12 years, and you found out you were pregnant with quadruplets, right?
Quadruplets, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
We found out about 12 or 8 weeks along, I think. We were about 8 weeks along. We found out that we were having quadruplets. It might have been a little earlier than that. A lot has happened. And we were having two sets of identical twins, all boys. And they were born very early at 26 weeks plus 2 days at the Ottawa Hospital. And we were in the neonatal intensive care unit for about 3 months. But sadly, about 3 weeks in, we lost one of our boys, Cullen, on January the 16th. And then 2 days later, we lost his brother, Daniel, on January 18th.
Wow.
But our other boys are thriving and doing really well.
Okay. So you have two sons now who are 11 years old.
That is correct.
And you mentioned that you had two sets of identical twins among the quadruplets, and you have one son from each pair who is still alive, right?
That is correct. Yes, they each lost an identical twin. So
yeah.
Our boys that we have recently, they are fraternal of each other, and they each lost an identical twin.
Yeah.
That must have been an awful time for you, obviously, and I can't even imagine what you would have been through, but it must have been very difficult.
It was very difficult. For Rob and I, my husband and I found that the mourning happened a little later than some maybe, because although we deeply mourned our boys when they passed, we still had two little boys in the NICU, in the NICU, that were still really quite ill, and we didn't know how well they would do. So we were going back and forth to the hospital. They were only about 3.5 weeks old. We still had things to move through. You know, in the NICU experience, it's often 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. But they continued to thrive at the Ottawa Hospital, and they were just there. They're amazing now, but we found it took a while, or at least for me anyway, it took a while before we were able to properly mourn our boys once we realized that our other two recently were going to do really well.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot to focus on, obviously, at that time, and you had a lot to do as well, right?
We did.
With two newborn children, yeah.
That's right, and they went through a few things. They both had what's called a PDA surgery, which is a surgery on their heart valve, which is a common surgery in premature babies. They both had multiple blood transfusions. They had eye surgery, which is called retinopathy of prematurity. This is what Stevie Wonder is blind from, actually. So they had to have that surgery. But they've thrived, they've done well, and they're doing really great.
And you've established an endowment fund at the Ottawa Hospital Foundation in the names of your sons that you lost, right?
That is correct. When our boys were in the hospital, there was just so much to do, and Rob mostly took this on, where he asked family members to do things for us if they wouldn't mind, because we were just concentrated on our children in the Ottawa Hospital. And so he asked my dad if he could look into something that we could give back to the hospital, because we just had so much gratitude for them and for what they did for our boys and for us while we were in the hospital. And we had initially wanted to buy a twin waterbed, as they didn't have any for twins, because they've shown that children that actually co-bed together will often do better. But our boys had to be separated. So my late dad, he looked into this, and he came up with the endowment fund. And he said, you know, the twin bed is a really nice idea, but once its lifespan is done, it's done. And it's a quite expensive, as you can imagine, a very expensive piece of equipment. So he found out about the legacy endowment funds, and we decided to open one in the names of our children. So we have the Cullen James and the Daniel Morgan White Legacy Endowment Fund.
And I understand for a long time most of the donations, if not all of them, came from family and people very close to you. But now with your participation in Ottawa Race Weekend, your goal is to open it up to a much wider group of people.
That is correct. We've always kept it private. So we had about $65,000, most of which over the years came from close family and friends. But I just felt that I wanted to do something more. And not everybody always knows where they want their money to go, and I just felt if we told our story, then maybe we could help give back to the Ottawa Hospital by people knowing about our story and reading our story and contributing to our Legacy Endowment Fund, which only helps the Ottawa Hospital even more. So we decided to open it, and they asked us if we'd like to do the race weekend, which we jumped on right away.
Yeah, and you've already raised quite a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars, and there's still time, of course, for people to donate, so this is great. Can you tell us a little bit about what that money will go towards supporting?
Well, it goes towards the neonatal intensive care unit in the hospital. They use the money as they see fit, so we let them take control of that money, but it will help with, there's always, as you can imagine, endless needs in the neonatal intensive care unit. There's always babies in and out of the hospital. And so they manage that money. They use it where they see that they need it. And so far, I think they've done a great job.
And I think they're raising money now to build a new neonatal intensive care unit, right?
That is correct. They're doing one. They just built a new one at the Civic campus of the Ottawa Hospital, and they're just raising money to do one at the General as well, at the General campus.
Yeah.
Yes. So it'll be very different from what we knew.
Yeah, and obviously this is such a critical time for families, and there are many families that have children who are born prematurely for a variety of reasons or have health challenges as soon as they are born. So you're helping people at a very crucial time in their child's life.
We certainly hope so. We certainly hope that the money that we raised and that benefit the neonatal intensive care unit will help these families and just help wherever they may spend it, wherever they may choose to spend it. It'll always help a family and it'll always help a baby in need. And you always think that you're the only one having a premature baby that's not well, and then you find out that you're not alone. Sadly, you wish you were, but you're not. And if we can help more families, the more we can help, obviously, the better.
So how many people do you have on your team? Who's going to be participating in Ottawa Race Weekend?
Oh, gosh, at this point, we have about 18. There's our family of four. We have another close family of ours that we've known for years and years, and they have twins as well. They're going to be with us. My mother, who's 81, is going to be walking with us. She's going to be walking, obviously. She's 81. She's not up to running, but I'm sure there's lots out there that would. But she's going to be walking. I have some family coming from Peterborough. Our best friends, Donna and Peter, are going to be running with us. So we have a number of people that are joining our team and participating with us, which is wonderful.
Very cool. And your two sons are going to participate, right?
That is correct, yes. Yes, they are very excited about doing this, and they want to participate, and they want to get involved for their brothers, so they're very excited.
Yeah, that's nice. And you were telling me that you guys recently participated in one of the Disney events?
We did, yes. We did a 5K. We did a cruise in December, just before our children's birthday. They were born on December 22nd. So just before their birthday, we did a cruise, and Disney has a private island called Castaway Key. So we participated in the family 5K on the island as well, which was a lot of fun.
And I guess the kids liked it. Is that right?
They did.
Yeah.
They did, and they're really looking forward to. I had one that was really moaning about having to do it, and he didn't want to walk that far, and now he is the one that's most excited about this race.
Okay.
So I said, you're doing it, we're doing this as a family, and he is the one that is most excited and looking forward to this race.
Now, if there was one message that you could leave people about the care at the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, what would it be? I gather that despite the tragic circumstances, obviously, you felt like you and your family and your kids were really well looked after.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. We couldn't have asked for a better team looking after our boys. And I was a first-time mom. I didn't know anything about looking after my baby, but yet you don't want to go home. You feel that you're the only one that can look after your baby. But knowing that those nurses know so much more than you and going home and having the peace of mind that they are in extraordinary hands was more than we could ask for. They were amazing. And I'm still friends with many of them today. We communicate by Facebook. I will go in once in a while just to say hello at the hospital, and I see many of them, and we're still friends, and we still have a connection. So they are just fantastic.
Well, it's great that you are raising this money to support the NICU at the General Campus of the Ottawa Hospital and the great work that is being done there. Good luck at Ottawa Race Weekend, Nora, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me and letting us tell our story.
That's Nora Shipton, who is running and raising money at Ottawa Race Weekend. Coming up on next week's show, more inspiring stories of runners who are making a difference in the world, raising money, breaking boundaries. We're going to have a report on the Big Sur Marathon in California as well. And coming up in the next few weeks, the runner who's going to be on the cover of the next issue of iRun, Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.